5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're listening to only the best internet radio station in the world. This is your number one radio station.
Yo, what's up?
Baby, let's go.
What's going on, tribe? It is another exciting episode of the Roy of Judah podcast show. Got some exciting news, But before we jump into all of that, we have not had the opportunity to say Happy New Year to you and your loved ones and family and friends. Such an honor and a pleasure to be here another year. Another year of God's mercy, God's favor, and God's unconditional love. As always, we would like to send a shout out to all of our sponsors. This would not be possible without you. If you're not following the Roy Judah podcast on social media, please do so on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And you can also visit the website at www.theroarofjudah.org. And for the people in the back,
you're number one.
That's www.theroarofjudah.org. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor for the Roar of Judah and you have a faith-based business, we look forward to partnering with you. You can email us at info@theroarofjudah.org. Again, that's info@theroarofjudah.org. Also, you can hit us up at admin@theroarofjudah.org. Once again, that's admin@theroarofjudah.org. Well, before we jump into the show and any announcements, we must pray. Prayer is much needed in a time such as this. So let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for watching over us and keeping us in 2023. And for those who have felt that they were alone, send them a gentle reminder that you are a good God and you'll never leave them or forsake them. Now, as we embark on this journey in 2024, we ask that you go before us. Keep us in all our ways. We acknowledge you as being a sovereign God. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You already know what that means. Let's go to work. It's 2024. And the world seems to be on edge. In every industry, there is something going on. Well, I stopped by today to tell you that God is still sitting on the throne and he's still in control. As always, we have a fabulous show. We're going to get into it in just a second, but I wanted to share a testimony with you. I don't know if you experienced a lot of hardships during 2023, but it seemed like it was an uphill battle every single turn. And the last 3 months of 2023 had me on edge. Do you hear me, tribe? I didn't know if I was going or coming. My faith is in God. My faith is relentless, but if I can be transparent with you in this moment, I did not know what was going on. But God is a good God, and the more that we trust him, the more that we have confidence in his ability and not our own, we start to understand that it's all working for our good. Listen, don't get me started. God is a sovereign God, and he will never leave you or forsake you. God stands on business. That's for sure. So even in your darkest times, he is with you. In those moments where you do not understand what is going on in your life, God is with you. It is the very reason why prayer is necessary. And for those last 3 months of 2023, I held on for dear life. I wanted to share a simple message with you. God would never leave you or forsake you. Your faith is the key to unlock your next. It is your ability to believe. It is your ability to hope that God will finish what he started in your life. Your faith will move the mountain. I need you to write that down. My faith will move the mountain. Now let's jump into this show. Episode 13, The Broken Box. We're going to be taking a look at Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John 12. Three different accounts about the same story from three different perspectives. And the beautiful thing about these three different perspectives is that it takes you from a wide angle to a medium shot to a close up. And if you understand what I just said, those are all cinematic terms of filming: a wide shot, a medium shot, and then an up close. That's what these three different perspectives allows us to come more intimately into the story. But let us begin. I don't want to take up too much time. The anointing at Bethany is a story about Jesus in the house of Simon the leper. Now, a woman came having an alabaster box of a very precious ointment, and it was poured on Jesus' head as he sat at meat, which means food. But when the disciples saw it, they had an indignation. And that word simply means to be angry or upset about waste. And they wanted to know, why was this expensive ointment wasted in this moment? Now, I'm going to kind of go through this and I'm going to come back and pick it apart. Now, when Jesus understood what they were saying, he said unto them, why trouble the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but ye have not me always. For in that she had poured the ointment on his body, she did it for his burial. And he says, verily I say unto you, whoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman have done be told for memorial of her. That's from the King James Version. That's Matthew 26. I want to jump right into this small window. They're at the house of Simon the leper. Now, what I need you to understand is there is no account of where the woman came from. But she came onto the scene. And she was carrying an alabaster box. I don't know if you're familiar with history, but the story says that this was a very precious ointment. And it was not only just precious, but it was expensive. God has a purpose for every single detail of your story. What you think is a waste, God calls it good. Now, in the three perspectives, she has broken the box in order to get what was in the box out. I need you to follow me here. This particular story takes place in Bethany. It is the same place where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I need you to understand that by her breaking the box to anoint Jesus, the disciples question it. In this particular perspective, did they say the disciples? So we're thinking a group of people had questioned why she did this. And what I need you to understand is people will often question your good work. People will often question your good work. Again, we don't know where the woman came from, but what we know is that somewhere in her journey, it had been put on her heart to take this atonement, this gift, this sacrifice, something that she probably been saving for this moment. Break it and anoint the Messiah. And I need you to understand that in those moments where you have been commanded by God to do something, people will question the reason. And I need you to be obedient. Do what God has called you to do, despite what people may say. The alabaster box in the story was a gift. It was an atonement and a sacrifice. She had been saving this thing for a moment. It said that it was precious. What are we willing to give God that's precious to us? What are we willing to offer? Woo. What are we willing to lay at the altar and give to God in exchange for true relationship? I need you to hear this out. In the story, the scene is being painted, and it looks as though the disciples are looking at this unfold as she's breaking the box and she's anointing the Messiah, Jesus. And they question this. Be mindful of the people who question why you pour out your gift to increase others. I'm going to say that again. Be mindful of the people questioning why you're pouring out your gift to increase others. There is a reward. There is a reward for what you're willing to pour out to increase someone else. I can prove it to you in the story. Here we go. At the very end, Jesus is saying in a statement that wherever the gospel will be preached, this particular woman's story will be a memorial. That means it has been etched in history. It has been etched in time. She will be forever remembered alongside the Messiah in this beautiful cinematic moment. People tend to tell you what to do with your gift, with your talent, with your purpose, not understanding that you have been called, you have been chosen, and you have been selected. And whatever God has called, chosen, or selected you to do, it is not up to you to listen to other people. It is up to you to be obedient to the call on your life. I remember shortly before I left to go to college in 2007, I believe, a lot of the people that I was running with and hanging around questioned my decision, because to them it did not make sense, and to them it seemed like a waste of time. But I was not operating under my own will, but what God had placed in my heart. And whenever God places something in your heart, you must not try to convince others. In this particular story, this woman did not try to convince anyone about what she was called and purposed to do in that moment. She did what she was supposed to do, and her story was etched in time. I want to tell you today, do the work you've been called to do. Serve the purpose that you have been called to serve so that you can stay in time and be in rhythm with what God's will is for your life. Your story will be told. Your obedience matters. Too often we are taken back by the opinions and the ideas of others. When we have people that are in close proximity to us, we have to understand that everyone will not agree with what God has called us to do. But it is your responsibility to pursue the call at whatever cost. Your purpose is more important than your performance. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. Your purpose is more important than your performance. Woo! What's inside of you matters. You are carrying something so precious. In this particular story, the woman was carrying the alabaster box. She enters the scene. She is carrying a precious ointment to do the will of the Father. And what you have to understand is, can you imagine what she had to go through to get from where she was to where Jesus was inside the house of Simon the leper to achieve what her purpose had been? And why I'm saying that is because what's inside of you matters. You have something inside of you that is so precious and so valuable that you must be consciously aware of where you are, who you're with, because you don't want to accidentally spill the precious gift that God has put inside of you to the wayside. Again, you don't want to waste your pearls. As one scripture says, see, people will question what they don't understand. But whatever God places on your heart, you must be obedient and follow through. Your purpose is more important than your performance. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to slide right over to Mark 14. And what you have to understand is, in this particular perspective of the story, it says that she breaks the box and she pours it on Jesus' head. And then the disciples are saying, why waste the ointment? It could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. But I came today to ask this question. What is more valuable than an anointing? Whew. What is more valuable than an anointing? And as they murmured against this woman and what they felt like was a waste, Jesus had to quickly remind them that anything that God has called someone to do is not a waste. He uses every single thing that has happened in your life for your good. His will is all that matters. I want you to understand that people will be upset with the way you pour. Oh, that was good. Listen, people will be upset with the way you pour. But I came to challenge you today that I need you to continue to pour the way that God has called you to pour. Don't let the distraction of what people are saying and doing or thinking, or the gossip or the rumors of how you poor stop you from doing what God has called you to do. So many times on my journey, I have pursued things that God has placed on my heart, and the chatter from people, I have allowed that to slow me down. And what I realize is that my obedience to God is better than any performance that I can give to man. Woo. You cannot complete what God has called you to do in this lifetime if you are not willing to go against the grain. I got to give a shout out to my mentor and a spiritual giant, Pastor Reggie Redmond. I have to give him a shout out. He is continuously pouring into me and helping me understand that in this lifetime, if you are going to serve your highest calling, you cannot be concerned with the small chatter of what people are thinking or saying. God has called you for a particular reason. And his purpose, his will for your life trumps anything that man can say or do. I need you to get that in your spirit, that you have been called for a particular reason. There is something God has invested in you, and you have to pour that thing out. It is no happenstance that it is better to die empty than to die full. What God has placed inside of you must come out. My biggest concern is that I don't want to die with what God has put me on earth to do, his purpose, his will for my life. I don't want to die with that inside of me. If I don't accomplish anything else, I want to accomplish the ultimate goal of finishing what God has started in my life, the good work. I want to spread the good news. I want to fulfill my purpose. Lord, if it's in your will, allow me to fulfill my purpose here on earth before I transcend to the afterlife. I need you to get that in your spirit. You do not want to leave this earth without fulfilling your purpose. We have dreams. We have visions. We have all these things. But the most important thing to accomplish while here on earth is God's will. In this particular story, the woman accomplished her purpose. It doesn't matter what happened after this particular scene takes place. She did what she was supposed to do. The box was broken. The contents of the box serve the purpose that they had been created for. My God. You have to understand that God wastes nothing. For the person who has faced that divorce, for the loss of a child, for a loss of a mother, for a loss of a father, for a loss of a brother, whatever you have lost along the way, God will use that so that he gets the glory, and your testimony will live long after you. Let me work. Jesus, in this particular story, is sitting back and he's watching these disciples, and he's watching this scene unfold. And as we look at the third and final perspective, John 12, we start to see that this scene has already been painted. It is just being played out in this moment. In that moment, Judas of Issachar, Simon's son, which was going to betray Jesus, asked the question, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Now, with that being said, let's just take a step back and look at this thing. Judas of Issachar was more concerned with the value. Whew, listen to this. Judas of Issachar was more concerned with the value of the ointment than the sacrifice of the Messiah. Whew. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. Judas of Issachar was more concerned with the value of the broken alabaster box than the value of the life of the Messiah who was set to be put on the cross. It is the very reason why it says that he was a thief and he had the bag. He was the treasure. And he was more concerned about what was going in the bag. Watch out for the people who are only concerned of the value of what you can offer them, my Lord. Jesus already knew that Judas of Issachar was going to betray him. What I've learned in this particular story is that people want grace but are not willing to give it. People want grace for their mess ups, for their sins, but they will not give it. And the beautiful thing about this particular story is that Jesus knew how this all was going to play out, but it was written, as the word says. And so it had to unfold the way it did, because it was part of God's will. Too often we get in the way of God's will. And my prayer has been in 2024 that, Lord, don't let me get in your way. Don't let me get in the way of your will for my life, because what you have for me, I can't fathom. See, I know what I want to do, Lord, but what I want to do won't match up to what you have already predestined for my life. And it's so evident in my everyday life. I can guarantee you, if you look in your life right now, you can see what God had already set up, something so beautiful for you, and all you had to do was walk into it, my Lord. Woo. You know how many times that I've struggled and I fought and I wrestled to try to have my way, and the moment that I let go, the moment that I said, you know what, Lord, I trust you, I'll do it the way you want me to do it, it was so easy. I walked in, the door was already open. I just walked right on in to the opportunity, to the job, to the promotion. It was already ready for me. It's like it's always been mine. Have you ever had that happen in your life? That you walk into something and it seems like it's already yours. Let me go back to the story. It seems like in this particular story that the woman walked in knowing that her name would already be etched in the biblical history of Jesus' story. She had no doubts. She had no fears. She came straight in, broke the box, and anointed the head of the Messiah. I wonder what God has for you that you are afraid to walk in. I wonder what God has for you that requires confidence and not performance. Woo. Let me say that again. I wonder what God has for you that is requiring your confidence, your faith, your ability to believe, and not your performance. Today, I came by to tell you that God has a purpose for your story, and he has a purpose for your will. Release total control. We are running out of time. We are running out of time, but I want you to understand and hear me clearly that the broken box, whatever you're carrying, whatever you surrender to God, there is a reward. Let go. Let God. As always, you are loved, you are cared for, and you are much needed. Until we meet again, tribe, one love.